Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
They are brutal. If you've ever tried to garden under one of those things, there's no way. They suck up all the nutrients, and we're talking Norway maple, suck up all the nutrients. The canopy is so heavy, no rain gets down there, no light, it's tough.
But may I ask you, what's more important, the tree or the little beautiful garden underneath? I got to ask you the question. I mean, so
my little beautiful garden underneath.
Get over yourself. So, in the bottom line,
he named his show The Mike Novak Show.
Oh, stop it.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas, wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Back to Nature Compost, life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. If Mother Earth and Father Time had a baby, never mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Are we all set?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are we ready?
We're here. We're doing it.
Are we?
You pushed all the right buttons.
So far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that'll change in a hurry. I've decided that I'm going to infect everybody within a 25-mile radius.
Please
of
don't.
Me. I'm trying not to.
Can we put you in a bubble or something?
I would like to be in a bubble. I am the original bubble boy. That would be nice. But it can't happen. You know, I'm one of those people that, you know, you got to come into work to make your money.
Yep.
You know, it's just amazing that how much workers are being assaulted. The people who show up day after day and do their job, right? Do it well.
And
Isn't it tragic? And they do really difficult jobs that I would never take, like being a teacher. I would never do that.
You barely have the patience for me.
It's true. It's absolutely true. I wish...
Children, not so much. No offense, my friend, but nah.
Children were never going to be part of that equation with me. And yet there's so many of them, they have to go in every day and do their jobs. I think of the white collar folks in the country, cause I know a lot of white collar folks who do not have unions to protect them, and they're working 50, 60, 80 hours a week. Their bosses come in and lean on them. This has got to get done. It's got to get out tonight. So you're not going home till it gets done. There's no overtime. You think that's a way to work in this country? I was listening to Dick Kaye yesterday, and I thought his defense of working people in America was very good, and his defense of unions and say, this is why I say this to my friends. The ones that get home at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night because they were stuck at their desks and they couldn't go until the job was done. I say, this is why we have unions.
It's exactly
this
why.
This is exactly
They'd
why
have no
have
weekends and or anything if they didn't have those unions. Those...
Yeah. And for those people, the ones that called in Decay yesterday and said, we don't need unions. I was doing just fine without a union. You know why you were doing fine? Because we had unions that paved the way. And that's why you were doing fine. And guess what? When they go away...
We're doomed.
Then so will your benefits.
Yep.
So will your salary will begin to decline. It will happen. It will be inevitable. We need something to keep the standard of living up. Now, that, you know, if you don't want a high standard of living in America, that's another thing. If you'd like us to have a race to the bottom, sure, let's do it. Let's go have, you know, let's have the American people. Let's, in fact, we should have a referendum. Let's put it on the ballot in 2012. Do you want a race to the bottom? Yes, no. That's the question. End of story. Just put that in as the question. Do you want a race to the bottom in America? And if you say yes, then I say we gut everything. And we let the rich take over, do whatever they want. Because they already do. They run the ship already. Uh-huh. But
it just scares me. It's like those reality TV show rich people. I don't want them in charge. They're ridiculous.
Anyway.
That's the only good word I can think of that I can say on the radio right now.
Good morning.
Yeah, really.
It's Sunday. How y'all doing? I'm sick and I'm here at work. And
you're physically ill. The mental ill is debatable. That's been ongoing for years.
Sick in so many ways.
Sick in the head.
So many ways. We have a jam-packed show today.
Yeah, didn't I see you on TV or something? You look kind of familiar to me.
I was on TV twice this week.
No.
I was on for,
did you blink?
I was on for 5 seconds on ABC 7 News. And part of it's going to be on the show today because those of you who are paying attention who pay attention to the recycling issue in Chicago and are paying attention to politics at all know that on Thursday morning the Sun-Times had an article written by Fran Spielman where she revealed that Mayor Daley, our current mayor, for another month, is thinking of privatizing the recycling services in Chicago. Speaking of race to the bottom. And she had gotten that information from Lou Phillips with Workers 1001. And the idea is that there will be 6 zones in the city, and they... 4 of them apparently will be farmed out to waste management and then two other outfits. And the idea is that the Daley administration wants this to happen by the time he leaves off. He wants it, but I guess the beginning of next month to have this all in place and ready to go. Well, that ruined my day on Thursday for a number of reasons, one of which is that I spent most of the day on the phone talking to my colleagues at the Chicago Recycling Coalition. And then Channel 7 called me, and then WTTW called me, and I was on Chicago Tonight with Alderman Scott Wagaspak from the 32nd Ward, and we discussed the issue. And so we decided, and that was actually Heather's idea, and it was a great idea, that let's reprise it. Let's bring the alderman back and talk about what we talked about on Thursday on Chicago Tonight. And that is the recycling, the bomb that got dropped on Thursday. And to be honest, I knew that some of this was coming down the pike. I already had news of this, have some inside information. But it is good that it's out in the open because now we get to talk about why this is happening now, whether it's a good idea, if it's not a good idea, what should we be doing. And this is just one of many issues, and it's just sort of how the city is run in microcosm. You know, we've got a new administration coming in, and the old one on the way out the door is saying, hey, let's do this. It'll be done. See ya. Bye. And is that the way to do business in our city, especially since we've been fighting for real recycling in Chicago for 20 years? You know, last 18 years we had blue bag for 15 of them, so we had a failed recycling system for 15 years. And then finally we got Blue Cart for 3 years, but that's an uncompleted system. So if you look at the total, you had a system that didn't work for 15 years and a system that is not finished for another 3, you have 18 years of failure. Not that it doesn't work in the wards where you have Blue Cart, which is great. It would be great if we could finish the job. But how are we going to do that? On whose backs will the job be finished? I think that's a question. So Alderman Scott Wagaspak will be here in the second hour to talk about this. And by the way, a couple of things. You can see the video of my performances, so to speak, on WTTW Chicago Tonight. We've got a link on MikeNovak.net on the homepage. You can go to my Facebook page, you can see that, and also my 5 Seconds of Fame on Channel 7. That's you know.
It was quite short and sweet.
Yeah, but you know, I'm a.
You looked great.
Thank you.
You did when you were like opening the big recycling bin and walking the guy around. You look so authoritative and knowledgeable.
It's like I owned the bin, right?
You did own that bin.
I own that darn bin. but those things are up there. But you know, and I'm in the media. I understand how that works. They got like, 90 seconds to get this out, and if they can get a 5-second quote in, they'll put a 5-second quote in, and that's fine with me. You know, that's how these things go.
We got our first recycling tweet of the day.
Uh-oh.
Not Dabbling Zan, a.k.a. Zamboni, has a question. Why are we paying for people to haul our recycling? Shouldn't they be buying it from us? It's a resource,
there
not trash.
There you go. That's one of the questions we ask. And we will talk about when Alderman Wagaspak is on in the second hour. If you want more information about this, I'm going to give you a great resource, and that is the Chicago Recycling Coalition website, www.chicagorecycling.org. We have put up 5 position papers. That's one of the things I've been doing in the last 2 weeks, is helping create these 5 position papers, and they're really, really excellent, about where we should be going now that we're coming into a new administration. It's a complex issue. It involves many things, many working parts. It's not just the blue cart pickup, but it's also multi-unit. It's how we can save money. It's composting. What are we doing with our food scraps, and what are we doing with our yard waste? It's all kinds of things. And all those positions are up on the website at www.chicagorecycling.org. And I hope, if you're interested in this, that you will go there and take a look at what we've outlined. It says, the headline is CRC Research Shows Way to Future. And I think we got to spice that up a little bit and say, Mr. Emanuel, here's some modest suggestions for recycling. And we talk about recycling revitalization, income and generating cost savings, blue cart composting, and high density residential and commercial. And you can look at all those position papers there. And then Patrick Cushing is going to come in right after Alderman Wagaspak. He is with an outfit called 2020recycling.com, and he's going to talk about how you do it commercially, which should be interesting. In our Good Growing segment, Kim Marson is back from Sweet Home Organics. This is so funny. She went to a tractor auction the other day, and she was really geeked out about it. So I'm really interested.
It was an auction, not a poll, right?
Yes, an auction. Yeah. I mean, this is great, and this is when she's learning how to farm, and this is a fabulous thing. So we'll talk to her. But first thing in the studio, I'm happy to have back Robert Neville from KAM Isaiah Israel in Hyde Park. How you doing, Robert?
Fine, how are you?
I'm great. You're sitting here listening to all this and nodding. He's nodding. Because, you know, a lot of these issues pertain to you, too.
Yeah, before we get into that, I just want to say that as an architect, back to your comments earlier about labor, as an architect, we know very little about working long hours. So I just want to get that
I know how architects are. They get up in the morning, they draw a circle and then a square, and then they go back to bed.
That's you've pretty much got it right on.
Yeah.
There's
absolutely
no numbers involved or geometry or anything.
No, nope. And no learning either.
Stick figures.
So you don't need teachers.
Nope.
And
who needs building codes and regulations? Come on.
KAM Isaiah Israel has been doing some great things on the South Side. Robert's been on the show a couple of times. Last year we talked about the Martin Luther King weekend. And then in the late summer, I went out there and looked at some of your harvest. And we've talked about your food justice and sustainability program, which is just fabulous. And now you're expanding it this year, which is very, very exciting, bringing in more people. And you got to hang on for just a second. That's the tease, because I want to get back to Robert, and we will talk about that in just a second. But first of all, it's spring, and you want to whip your soil into shape. One of the best things you can do is add Back to Nature Cotton Burr Compost as a soil conditioner. They're back on the show this year. First, you might not know what Cotton Burr Compost is. It's a 100% organic product consisting of composted cotton burrs, a product of the ginning process. The cotton burr or boll is the bud leaf of the cotton plant. Why is Back to Nature cotton burr compost so special? Well, cotton burrs are rich in carbon and protein. They also contain significant amounts of plant macro and micronutrients. And when composted, cotton burrs are a superior food source for beneficial soil organisms that help make your plants healthy. But don't take my word for it. Really, buy a bag of Back to Nature cotton burr compost, rip it open, and see for yourself what makes this soil conditioner so different from anything else you're going to find on the market. You can find Back to Nature products at Gethsemane Garden Center in Chicago, Pesci's in Des Plaines and Lake Geneva, and Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, and St. John, Indiana.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
You know, when people recall the olden days when business owners weren't always trying to rip you off and sell products, or they did sell products that they really believed in, that's an ethic upheld by the folks at Bobex, who have been selling deer and animal repellent products for more than 20 years because their products work. Bobex animal repellents are made from all natural and recycled ingredients, I like that word, which means they're harmless to wildlife, including aquatic species, as well as humans and pets, and they don't contain petrochemical or synthetic components. Bobex keeps critters away from your plants using both the odor and taste of meat, meal, fish oil, putrescent eggs, garlic, and other naturally occurring ingredients. And they work effectively throughout all the seasons. Don't look for Bobex products in a box store. Look for them in a Bobex store, meaning your local independent garden center. If you don't see Bobex at your favorite garden center, you can call Bobex and they'll check it out for you. But you can find Bobex products at Siegel's Cottonwood Farm in Lockport, Illinois, Shades of Green Nursery in Chicago, Fields Nursery in Crest Hill, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex. That's B-O-B-B-E-X.
I'm riding in your car.
Isn't this where you're supposed to go? I'm riding in your car. Don't you remember that version? That was Robin Williams did that.
Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, he did Fire as Elmer. Okay, now you got to go online and find it for
me. Okay.
Fire. Dun,
da, 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 da. I don't remember
fire.
That one.
Oh, well, probably you weren't born yet. That's why.
Well, it was the 80s. I may have been just very young.
I think it was a 70s. I don't know when it was exactly.
Give or take then.
Go look that up, and we'll find that. Robert Neville is in the studio with KM Isaiah Israel. He's with the Food Justice and Sustainability Program there. You got a lot going on this weekend and a lot going on this year. I want to start with how you're expanding. Last year, you had... the garden, you got it? Mm-hmm. It's there already? Okay, we'll get to that later. Where you were growing stuff, and it's across the street from President Obama's house, which makes things even more interesting. But tell me how you're expanding this year.
Well, Mike, this year we've received a grant from One Chicago, One Nation, and the grant money is specifically to transform congregational lawns in our area. Excuse me, congregational lawns in our area into food-producing gardens. And so we, with the aid of what we call Crop Mob Constructions, identify congregations that have south-facing lawns that we can transform, into food-producing gardens.
I want to stop you because it might have gone by very fast, and the phrase is Crop Mob Construction. What
Correct.
Does crop mob construction mean?
There was about a year ago an article in the New York Times about a group in, I think it was North Carolina, that would assemble in the fashion of an old barn raising a large group of people to accomplish a significant amount of work in the course of a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we have found that in about 5 or 6 hours, we can take up about 1,000 square feet of lawn and till the soil and prepare it for planting.
With how many people?
Probably 20 to 25.
And what kind of equipment do you use?
Shovels, hose.
Really, just sort of basic stuff?
Correct. It's all manual labor. It's very low energy usage.
So this has got to be encouraging to people who look at it and say, oh, boy, taking out that lawn, it's going to be so difficult, and we need a sod cutter, and we need this,
no,
and we need...
You really don't. You it's fueled by oatmeal and bananas and manual labor, and there's very little fossil fuels involved.
So you went up to a church in the area. You're a synagogue, of course, and you went to the Kenwood United Church of Christ at 46th and South Greenwood.
Right.
And you've been helping them with food deliveries for how long?
We started taking our harvest there last June, and we took about 40 or so, made about 40 deliveries to Kenwood United Church of Christ over the course of the summer and the early fall. And I think you joined us at a delivery at that
yes,
church.
I did. Yes,
and you saw that there was they had a lawn that was just outside the soup kitchen there at the church. And we approached Reverend Sanders and asked him if they would thought they might like having a food-producing garden there.
Was that something that had ever occurred to them?
I can't say. They didn't say that it had, but it was, as you and I have talked about before, it was a lawn there, an ornamental lawn that required mowing and watering and who knows what kind of...
Inputs. Yeah.
And otherwise unproductive and with great southern exposure.
Although I find in the city, generally, you know, I will rail against the evils of weed and feed on this program. But generally, I find in the city, most people don't put that stuff on their lawn. First of all, they don't care. The lawns are not spectacular enough
right.
to really care about. Second, they don't have the money or the time to deal with that. So, you know, I find that's more a suburban issue than an urban one.
It's probably the case, but unproductive still. And,
yeah.
And 1,000 square feet has an opportunity to generate at least 1,000 pounds of food if the growing goes well.
Yeah, I wish I had the figure, but Mike Repkin from Urban Habitat Chicago lays out a figure about how productive a small plot of land can be, and it's obscenely productive.
Yes.
I mean, you're saying 1,000 pounds of food for 1,000 square feet, but he would probably say a lot more than that.
Yeah, certainly it depends on whether you're growing zucchini or squash or greens.
Right, it depends what you're growing. Yeah,
but I think it's fair to say that to expect a pound a foot would not be if things go well would not be difficult to achieve.
Yeah. But helping the church till the soil is one thing. Helping them or teaching them how to grow stuff is another, and you have to follow through on that.
Correct.
How are you doing that?
Well, we've got one of our crew who trained up with us last year at our garden will be the coordinator at Kenwood United Church of Christ, and we'll get things rolling there get the involvement of the congregation at Kenwood United Church of Christ. We last November, when we started this project at the church, we also built compost bins for them. And then winter set in, and when we returned this spring, we noticed that they had, on their own, started composting over the winter.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was really terrific to see the compost bins full of their kitchen scraps that were generated over the.
Did you give them composting instructions, or did they just, you know, is it throw it and let it degrade, or you know?
It turns out that one of the fellows who works there knew about composting and had taken it upon himself to get that started.
You know, I hate to bring this up, Robert, but it's been bugging me since we agreed that we were going to talk on the show today. You're following, the adage, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach him how to fish, and he eats for a lifetime. It's kind of New Testament, don't you think?
and teach him how to work with the zoning department.
Oh, now that's a lesson on a Sunday you can really use.
Yeah.
That's in the Book of the Apocalypse.
Yes. That may be more significant accomplishment.
But I think it's fabulous that you have, you know, it turned out to be so successful at your congregation that you reached out. And are you going to do this with more than one church?
Well, we are. Our grant money is, there's enough money in the grant to do this with two or three churches over the course of the next 2 years. And I should say that we have also expanded the program by introducing what we call the White Rock Gleaning Program.
This is the other thing. The things you do are so fascinating. First, you've got this thing called the crop mob construction. And now you've got this other thing called the White Rock Gleaning Program. And Robert told me about this the other day. I said, huh? Would you care to explain that, please?
Sure. We had been visiting two of the larger community gardens on the south side over the course of last summer and noticed that a good share of the plots had gone untended over the course of the summer. And for whatever reason, those people who had set out to be gardeners had either lost interest or had moved away. And so, as I say, a significant amount of food was going unharvested. And we thought it an opportunity for us to go in and potentially harvest that food and deliver it to soup kitchens and shelters. And the way we went about that was we started this program called the White Rock Gleaning Program.
Which is also kind of a biblical thing, right?
Yes, gleaning is certainly that. And it's really a simple program. We leave a pile of white rocks at the community gardens. And with the support of Benja Murphy at the 65th and Woodlawn Garden and Adam Hammond at 62nd and Dorchester, both about an acre each in community gardens, we leave a pile of white rocks, white painted rocks. And the typical plot in one of these community gardens is 10 by 10. And if the plot holder will place a white rock in the northeast corner of their plot, and it does require that they know the northeast corner, but if they are an urban gardener, we hope they know which way the south is. And they place a rock in the northeast corner of their plot, and that signals to us that on Sundays at 3 o'clock, that food which is left unharvested, whether it's on the vine or on the ground, we can collect and then take to a shelter or a soup kitchen that day.
It's very low tech. I mean, it's not a tweet. It's not a Facebook post. It's not a text. It's not an email. It's white rocks piled up in which corner of it?
The northeast corner.
Is that traditional?
No, it was arbitrary.
Oh,
and what we, as I said to you, Mike, we started this at the end of September of last year, and by early November, we had rescued about 500 pounds of food. And this year, both the 65th and Woodlawn Garden and the 62nd Dorchester will be endorsing and starting this program from the get-go. So we hope to have a significant increase in that which we glean.
By the way, we're talking to Robert Neville from KAM Isaiah Israel Congregation in Hyde Park about their food justice and sustainability program. Whose idea was this to find this food which would go to waste that is being grown that these community gardens willingly donate to you? Whose idea was it to take advantage of this? Oh, am I looking at him?
It was a committee-wide decision to do.
I have a feeling the guys in the room who came with, and congratulations to you. That's so smart. That's just such a great idea. And I hope that other people take advantage of that in other parts of the city, because there's always extra if you're growing this stuff. And why not get it to some people who could really use it?
Right. We were at an AUA meeting, Advocates for Urban Agriculture, mm-hmm. this past week at Garfield Park, and we talked a bit about the White Rock Gleaning Program. And certainly those of us at KM Isaiah Israel would be happy to help any community gardens make that connection, set up that program, and connect them best we can to soup kitchens and food pantries and shelters. So we'd be happy to do that.
I got to uncover that tweet there, Heather. Well, I know you're responding, but excuse me, Cope Dog writes, Missed Who's Talking Now. That's Robert Neville from KAM Isaiah Israel, Cope Dog. And he writes, but I really like this idea of donating unharvested commie garden food. You commies in Hyde Park, what can I tell you? but it's a great idea. Before I let you go here, you're doing a lot of other things. And let's very quickly. If you go to my website, mikenovak.net, and go to this week's show, you can see the four components of their social justice program at KAM, and which make total sense. And two of them we've talked about, the White Rock Gleaning Program and the Crop Mob Construction, that's also their food-producing organic gardens in their own lot and their own site. And, of course, the annual Martin Luther King Weekend long program on food justice and sustainability. And this week you're having seminars about water.
Correct.
Which is just a huge topic, and not just in terms of growing food, but in sustainability all around. What did you have this weekend?
Well, this weekend it was through the Jacob J. Weinstein Committee and the B. Snyderman Social Action Fund at KAM Isaiah Israel. And we have the wonderful good fortune of having Gideon Bromberg from Israel to come in and talk about he's the Israeli director of EcoPeace and Friends of the Earth of the Middle East, to talk about the Jordan River Project. And Deborah Shore from the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District was joined Gideon on Saturday, along with Karen Hobbs from the National Resource Defense Council. And today we'll have a workshop with Paul Kay from Oregon and Gideon Bromberg. And the idea is that we talk about the issues of water in the Middle East and the issues of water in the Midwest here in the Chicago area, and access to fresh water and sustainable use of water. Again, it's a continuation of our work at the synagogue in issues of sustainability, and we've been working on food justice and equal and affordable access to healthy food, and also now the issues of equal and affordable access to fresh water.
Well, and you're drawing the parallels between the Midwest and Israel in the Middle East. What kind of parallels are there? I mean, we've got the largest, some of the largest bodies of fresh water in the world, and Israel has the Dead Sea.
Right. But I think that the issues are that, in the short course of it is that they require cooperation, whether it's in the Middle East between countries or whether it's here in this area between states.
Or even communities,
or
I would
communities.
Think.
Yeah. And resources like water require transcend borders.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that we think of them as in that way, that they're not restricted to a specific place. The Great Lakes are not, and Lake Michigan, not just Illinois or Michigan or Wisconsin or Canada, but they require international and national cooperation.
Yeah, they're everybody's resource, and the idea that you can look at a map and you see a boundary through the middle of Lake Michigan, and this side of it is ours and that side of it is yours, or Michigan's
correct.
And ours, it wouldn't be Canada, but, you know, Lake Huron.
Yes.
Yeah, we got the dotted line. That side belongs to Canada.
Yes.
As if you could actually make that delineation.
Yes, and a water table knows no boundaries.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating stuff. You're doing great work down there. I know you got to run. You've got the bow tie on because you're moderating a panel at 10:30 at KAM.
Correct.
So if you're in the neighborhood and you want to hear a fascinating panel about water rights, how we share, go over to – what's the address again?
And practical solutions to how to be better stewards of our water resources. We're at 1100 East Hyde Park Boulevard, which is the corner of Greenwood and Hyde Park Boulevard. It's free and open to the public. It's a wonderful program. And, Mike, before I leave, I want to thank you for all the support that you give our program and having us on the show. We're really grateful for that, Mike.
Well, I'm happy to do it. I'm such a small part. I'm not the guy out there that's digging in the lawn and creating that and putting the white rocks up and stuff. And I want to tell people, if they go down to the the seminar today, and it starts at 10:30.
10:30, correct.
Say hi to Secret Service. They will be there across the street. Just wave to them and say, hi, we're just here for a seminar. Don't worry, we where is Obama's house? Can we take it? No, we can't. Okay, fine. And one more question.
Yes.
You tied that tie yourself, didn't you?
Correct.
Oh, I love it. A man who ties his own bow tie.
A bow tie is classic.
It's great. Robert Neville from KAM Isaiah Israel. We will talk soon, buddy.
Thanks.
Take care. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Rick DeMille weather coming up in just a sec. Spring is blooming at Sid's Greenhouses, and right now they have everything you'll need to get your yard and garden in shape. Since there's still a chance of frost for another month or so, believe it or not, there is. Well, you know, there's probably it's been cold. So you can plant pansies outside now in garden beds and containers. Pansies, believe it or not, are one of the few frost-tolerant annuals, and they come in a rainbow of awesome colors. Best of all, this week, you can get three of Sid's premium pansies in the 4-inch pot for just $5. Now is also the time to start flowers and vegetables from seed. This is a great family project, and Sid's has everything you'll need. So get to Sid's this week for your free customized lawn care plan as well. And save these days. So, you know, you've got the seeds for your vegetables and some seeds for your lawn. And we're getting to lawn time as well. And you want to save these dates, April 15th and 16th, for Sid's Spring Planting Festival at both of their stores. They'll have free seminars and manufacturer's reps on hand to help you with your spring projects. Visit SidsOnline.com for all the details. Sid's Chicagoland's premier garden centers are located in Palos Hills and Southwest Highway and in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassard Boulevard.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
No, not over Plant Skid. That's no, plants, S-K-Y-D-D. No, over the halls that
relief
is just swallow away. And
I'm just glad this time it wasn't me that got you sick, having the children exposure. I like it when you come in sick independently and it's not me.
I was in a petri dish somehow. You know, it's probably because I was in a room full of lawyers the other day.
aren't they impermeable to that sort of thing?
And Mark Munger is here, and he just fetched my tea. Will you guys get my slippers, too, while you're at it? Now, I'm going to... Oh, these are cherry-flavored Halls. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll pop that in a second when I have a chance. And I'll tell you a story about that. But first of all, Wendell Berry once said, "The soil is the great connector of our lives, the source and destination of all." Well, make your soil the best source it can be with Dr. Earth's probiotics, full of organic goodies like soil bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi that break down organic materials, make nutrients available to your plants, and help suppress pathogens. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. Sold only at local independent garden centers. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you. And if you're on Facebook, be sure to like Dr. Earth Organic Products. Now, here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Many insects have become active first thing in the spring, so now is a good time to have a certified arborist inspect your trees and shrubs for unusual pest activity. Now, keep in mind that I'm talking about unusual pest activity. Insects are all over the place, and most of them don't cause trouble. However, if you have ash trees and suspect emerald ash borer activity, do contact your county extension office or a certified arborist in order to make a positive identification. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years, and they can help identify some of those insect pests. Make the care of trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborists at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com. Or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people, and their love for trees. Do we have this?
Oh, yes.
All right, let's fire this puppy up and see what we got.
Elmer Fudd sings Bruce Springsteen.
I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio. I pull you a little closer. You say no. You say you don't like it. I say you're a liar. But when we get it's like fire.
There we go. See, I told you.
That was great.
I don't have the phone bank here.
Oh.
I can't push the button. Push the button. Let's get the...
We did kind of slide into home today, didn't we?
Yeah. Are we there? Okay. Rick DeMille, are you there with
me,
buddy?
He's there. He's there.
Yeah, Mike, this is a part of the show where I say, do you realize that you're on the air?
yeah, I know. And I say, no, I didn't know that.
I could tell. So splain, as we used to say on 120th Street in Richmond Hill, splain.
Splain? Oh, why Elmer Fudd and
yeah.
Robin Williams? I played the Pointer Sisters version of that earlier. As a musical bump, and I started going into the Elmer Fudd, and of course Heather said, "What?" And I said, "You're too young to know this," and it's before she was born. So
no, I was around then.
That was Robin Williams doing Elmer Fudd doing Bruce Springsteen.
Exactly.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, now I got it. Boy, I'm
I figured you'd know what was going on. If anybody,
I'm 2/3 of the way through my degree of dumbness.
we actually saw some halfway decent weather yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I was walking with my dog on the in the forest preserve just south of Beckwith Road in Morton Grove. I don't know if you know that area, but if you can get on that forest preserve from Dempster and just to the about a block south of this great riding equestrian center called Freedom Woods, right there in Austin. And it was kind of nice. I was walking around, and there was a couple of other people with their dogs, and a couple of deer ran by, and you can see a lot of these little green shoots, you know, poking out of the soil at about an inch or so. And I had just checked the website the day before and noticed that the soil temperature at the Morton Arboretum was up to about 45 degrees, and up around the Chicago Botanic Gardens around 44 or so. That's about where we should be for this time of year. And as long as we get some more mild weather today, which we will, probably be the warmest day since last November if we poke up above 70, which we have a pretty good chance of doing in some areas. This is a nice start to spring. You know, baseball season is underway. The Cubs are 1-1. They got one under their belt. The White Sox pounding the ball. So nothing could be finer than to have spring and spring-like weather come all at the same time.
Awesome. It's good stuff. Although the White Sox were dealing with snow in Cleveland, so...
Yeah, I know. What did they have? 9,800 people at the ballpark day yesterday?
Oh, did they really? Was it that bad? Oh, my God.
That's pretty bad for the second game of the year.
Cleveland just can't get a break.
Poor Ohio. Ohio in general.
Yeah, Ohio can't get a break right now, yeah.
Yeah, they had a little bit of lake effect snow coming off Lake Erie there. It was kind of nice to see earlier. But, you know, it's funny because everybody keeps talking about the weather for the Cubs game, and I'm like, well, the weather for the Sox is not going to be that good. But when the Sox open up here, I believe it's next Tuesday, it's going to be pretty cold because the storm system that comes through has a tremendous amount of cold air behind it. In fact, the front range of the Rocky Mountains yesterday made it up into the low to mid 80s, and then we're looking at the possibility of snow later on today there. So that's the springtime in the Rockies out there, and We could even actually see some severe weather here later on today. The bulk of the rain, though, is well north of us, so we are under a slight risk for severe weather. A more moderate risk exists across Missouri into Kansas. But there's a potential we can see some halfway decent thunderstorms today and then another chance of a cold rain tomorrow. So I think we're doing pretty good on the as far as getting things growing. It would have been nice, Mike, to see a little bit of a warmer end to March, but boy, that was pretty cold those last 7 days, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. But you know, here we go. We're the warm weather is finally coming. And I'll tell you, the people who would really appreciate it right now are the garden centers. I've been having conversations with some of the people in the garden centers, and they said mid-March it started to look real nice and things were going well, and then suddenly the bottom fell out, and when it's that cold, it's hard for people. But the good news is that it's been relatively dry. What will drive away people from a garden center even more is rain.
Is right, and muddy soil. I was actually, I passed by Yosemite yesterday. I passed by a couple of the Home Depot garden centers. Can we call Home Depot garden centers or just big places that sell things that put in the garden?
Big box. Well, the big box.
Yeah, they're big boxes. I mean, yeah, they sell plants. And some of them are good, but as I tell folks, you want real information, you want quality, you got to go to your local independent garden center. So, you know, if it's a choice between Yosemite and Home Depot, I'm going to Yosemite every single time.
Yeah, because I noticed they had a bunch of stuff out, but there was nobody there yesterday. But you know what? The long-range pattern does bode well for us to eventually break out of this cool pattern, which we were in for, it seemed like about 10 days. We were just darn right cold. We had temperatures in the mid-30s. We had, I think, 8 straight days we had temperatures in the low 20s, which is very unusual for this time of the year. But you know what? Oddly enough, we ended up the month of March with less than an inch of snow. We averaged 6.8. And since the blizzard, I think I talked about this last week as well, since the blizzard of February 1st and 2nd, we had only one storm that produced 3 inches, and that was basically a lake effect storm. So it was odd that every single snowstorm either went south of us or north of us, and it was just pretty amazing how that entire pattern worked out. And it looks like we're probably done for as far as snow for the rest of the year, and if that works out, I have a feeling that I may win the snow contest for the third year out of 4 years because I'm about an inch away from our total for the year. Which is, I think,
so have you collected your prize already, or did you win?
No, that's going to be in 2 weeks. We have the annual local chapter of the American Meteorological Society. We get together every year. There's about 60 of us or so. We have dinner at this lovely place called the Bohemian Gardens Restaurant in Downers Grove. And what I like about it, Mike, is they basically serve you the same food that you've been getting for the last 20 years, so you know exactly, essentially, what you're going to get.
So you're saying the food is 20 years old? Oh, I'm just kidding.
Well, I don't want to put their product down. It's a very, very stable product. They haven't changed the menu, and you know what you're going to get. You get a couple of extra drinks. Let me finish. My commercial. You do a couple of drinks at the bar with people like Frank Wachowski, who you hear Tom Skilling talk about.
Yep.
This year, Harry Volkman is the keynote speaker. Harry turned 85, living out on April 18th, so we'll sing happy birthday to him. And Harry has a book out called Weather and Me. And not me, Rick DeMaio, Weather and Harry Volkman. And it sells for $25, and it goes through all the different places that he's worked here in Chicago. And it's not that I'm plugging the book, but this is where we eventually hand out the prizes for who has the best snow forecast. And it's actually a really fun trip. And if you've ever been out to this restaurant, the waitresses come around, and they put down what's called relish on your table. And you know what that is?
What?
Relish?
No.
Well, it's a smorgasbord of all these little, like pickled things and beets and little things of potato. So it's not real relish.
Right.
The relish is just the part that goes along with all the other foods.
It's a relish
and
tray.
Every year, I continue to hope for something dark green on my plate, but we haven't gotten to that point.
No dark green thing. Well,
no dark green thing, yeah.
So bring yourself a can of spinach, you know.
Bring myself a can of spinach. But we have a good time because it's nice to be able to. Sometimes you have like 3 generations of meteorologists, and the neat thing about it is before, during, and after, there's always all these great satellite conversations about climate change and global warming and what he thinks the spring is going to be. And
well, see, that's what
you would love that event. You really would.
Yeah.
You would love to be a fly on the wall there.
I want to belly up to the bar with you and Tom Skilling and Frank Wachowski and Ginger Z.
Ray Waldman, who is the Ray is 88 years old, and he was in charge of the National Weather Service here in Chicago for about 25 years. And it's amazing. I always find this to be more so among meteorologists, I think, than any profession. Is I got on the phone with Ray, and I was telling him that I'm going to be there, you know, in a couple of weeks. And I said, pretty nice out there, huh, Ray? He goes, oh, yeah, if we can only break these high clouds, we'll probably make it up to 54 degrees. But tomorrow, I think we have a better chance of breaking the cap and maybe get some thunderstorms. And even if you're 88 years old, as a meteorologist, you're still going online and looking at weather data and are passionate about it. And I just love that about this field. And it's not that other fields don't have that, but I think it's more so with our field and probably gardeners as well, that you're living it every day. And if you're not living it here, you can actually go someplace else, you know, remotely and live it as well by talking about how much snow they had out in the California mountains in the last week. So it's a good time all the way around. If you want a ticket, I'll buy you one. It's on me.
You know, and when is this?
April 16th at the Bohemian Garden Restaurant in Morton in Downers Grove.
Oh, a Cope Dog just tweeted. It says he sold some booze to Harry Volkman once. So I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
Hey, you know what? Let me look at my calendar. Because if I come, I'm bringing a camera, pal. All right.
You know what? It's a real good time. You can bring Kathleen as well, and we always have a good time. And there's always we had. I think a couple of years ago, we had someone from Scripps Institute of Oceanography come and talk about climate change. And it was amazing how all the older guys, like a Hank Diario, who was in the Weather Service office there in the 50s and 60s, and remembers quite well the blizzard of 67 and the terrible tornadoes we had that year. And it's interesting to hear some of these older scientists talk about how they feel things have changed or not changed. And they go, I remember back then when we had the crocuses come up and they have this amazing memory bank of weather data, and I always tell every young scientist, don't think that everything you learn is what you learn in college. You have to really begin to get involved in some of the older historical parts of the science, and I think it gives you a deeper appreciation. You know this as well as a gardener.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Sometimes talk to people, and they go, yeah, but when you do this and you do that, that's when you get this, and you'll go, yeah, that's kind of interesting. I'm
you need the practical experience. Well, now that you've done the reminiscing, you got 30 seconds to give us the forecast.
Well, I think everybody knows the forecast. So warm today, temperatures close to 70. We'll probably get a couple of late-day thunderstorms, a better chance late tonight. The front goes through about 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'm talking weather time there.
Don't do that.
Tomorrow, kind of a cloudy, windy, kind of cool day with readings probably only in the 40s and dropping in the 30s. Could even see a little bit of wet snow Monday night into Tuesday. Tuesday looks nice. High temperatures only, though, in the low 40s, so pretty chilly weather. It looks like we get into another wet, kind of warm pattern for Wednesday and Thursday. So the good news is that the pattern is broken. We're out of that kind of cool, dry one that we were in for the last half of March. I think things are looking up for us for the entire month of April.
That sounds great. And I'll talk to you about the 16th. I hope I can make it. That's Rick DeMille. You can go to DeMilleWeather.com or my website, MikeNovak.net. And we will talk to you next week, buddy.
See you, Mike.
Bye-bye. Groundhogs and gophers and moles. Oh, my. Groundhogs and gophers. Oh, if burrowing creatures are playing with your lawn, then Bonide has the solution. Bonide Mole Max is an effective repellent to use against moles, voles, rabbits, gophers, groundhogs, squirrels, skunks, and other burrowing animals. The environmentally friendly Mole Max formulation makes it safe to apply in areas where children and pets play. Apply 3 to 4 times per year to send nuisance pests away. Note, this has not yet been tested on wicked witches. Molemax is available in 10-pound bags that cover 5,000 square feet or in convenient 5-pound shaker applicator for flower or vegetable gardens. Molemax is also available in a quart-sized ready-to-spray liquid with a built-in hose end sprayer. Molemax can be found at Prosek's Garden in Winfield, Illinois, Knupper's Nursery in Palatine, Illinois. I think we had a question on the pronunciation of that, but we'll get back to that. Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid, or download it directly to your computer.
Inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
I'm happy to welcome Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines back to what? Wow, it didn't dink well. There we go. Back to the Mike Novak Show for another growing season. Pesci's is the place to go for your spring gardening needs, like early spring vegetables that like cool weather, like cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, three kinds of cabbages, and seven, count them, seven varieties of lettuce and herbs. All these items are free of sprays and fertilizers. Not only that, but they catch the rain and snow runoff and use that water to irrigate the plants. That's what Pesci's does. Talk about sustainability. Pesci's also has cool season annuals like pansies, violas, sweet alyssum potted tulips, hyacinths, and many more. Pesci's offers a complete line of organic amendments, fertilizers, and curatives, along with the proper advice to get you growing naturally. What do I mean by advice? Well, Wally's tip of the week is next hour. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com, P-E-S-H-E-S.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. Boy, I'm salivating like crazy. This is this cough drop you gave me. It's just,
is it soothing the throat?
It's helping.
Now, I want to know, what's the Cherry Hall story?
The Cherry Hall story was about Wally Phillips, longtime broadcaster at WGN, which I'll get back and tell you about in the second hour, when we have Alderman Scott Wagaspak as well, and we're going to talk about recycling. I hope you'll join us after the news.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees, and by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, and by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow.
Welcome back to the second big hour of the Mike Novak Show. Glad you're with us on a Sunday morning. I will tell you ahead of time, if you've got questions, and a lot of people are concerned about what's happening with recycling in the city of Chicago, you can give us a call, 773-838-9278. This hour, Alderman Scott Wagaspak will be joining us. Patrick Cushing from 2020recycling.com. And I know that you and Heather, of course, is on the phone right now. So, you know, what good is my telling the story if she's not even going to be paying attention? Then I'm going to have to repeat it afterward. You know, you could have.
Do you want to guest or not?
What?
Do you... Hi. Just one moment, please. Do you want your guest or not?
Yes, I do. I do.
I'm professional today. Hello.
I'm sick. You got to make allowances for me. Okay. I will tell that story in a second, too. I do want to point out something. I got a really interesting flyer from the Wicker Park Garden Club. And I love the Wicker Park Club because they do so much cool stuff over there. And they have great series. And this is the last lecture of the season. It's tomorrow, April 4th. And I hope you're doing something good on April 4th. I know I was looking around for the I know that it's the big day of action.
Yes.
But in Chicago, they've put it off till the big thing is like Saturday, I think, next Saturday, the 9th, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it is. So whereas in many – and I don't know why that is. Because I saw, went online and saw the information, and I think most of the activities are taking place later in the week. But tomorrow evening, April 4th, excuse me, at the Wicker Park Fieldhouse at 1425 North Damon from 7 to 8:30, Julia Bachrach, who's the with the Chicago Park District, historian and author, is going to be talking about Clarence Hatzfeld, who is an architect of the Prairie and Revival style designs. He designed a number of the field houses that are in the city of Chicago. Now, and you have to excuse me for clearing my throat because I'm a little under the weather here, and I'll talk about that in a second with Heather now that she's off the phone. And I'll get to the Alderman in just a second, too. But what's interesting, Clarence Hatzfeld, who died in 1943, was a prolific Chicago architect who has been relatively unknown, despite the fact that the city retains a large collection of his Prairie and Revival style field houses, commercial buildings, and residences. And Park District historian Julia Bachrach had done some research on Hatzfeld over the years. And the lecture is kind of about the strange things that began to happen when she and her husband went house hunting in the summer of 2008. And apparently, Julia Bachrach thinks she's being haunted by Clarence Hatzfeld. It's kind of cool. I like it.
Well, it's cool. If you're going to pick one, that's a good one to pick.
That's a good lecture to go see. And she's going to talk about him, and I'd be interested in why she thinks she's being haunted by Clarence Hatzfeld. And again, it's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Wicker Park Fieldhouse, 1425 North Damon. Reservations are $8. You can go to WPGarden at AOL.com, cash or check to Wicker Park Garden Club, or call 773-278-9075, 278-9075. And if you just caught part of that and you want to go, send me an email, and I'll send you the information. The point I was going to make about lozenges, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I used to engineer for Wally Phillips over at Gargantua Radio down the dial. Wally Phillips, of course, longtime broadcaster in Chicago, legendary broadcaster. And I don't know if he did this early in his career, because I worked with him towards the end of his career. But, man, he would pop those lozenges in his mouth. And one of the things you tell people in the business when you're in radio, you're not supposed to have something in your mouth while mm-hmm. you're talking. Just your tongue. And he would have them all the time. I mean, I kind of understand today. Your voice dries up, and I'm having a little tickle in the throat here. I can see why he did that. So, that was my story.
The
it's not very big, but
action just feels so nice.
You know, and the thing about Wally is he could get away with it because he earned it. I mean, the guy was a living legend when I was working for him. And, if he wanted to pop a lozenge in his mouth, I said, so what? Go for it, you know?
Well, you got your own show.
You want to smoke a cigar while you're on the air? Go ahead. I don't care. Whatever you want to do. Of course, you couldn't smoke in the building.
No.
All right, let's go to line one and bring in Alderman Scott Wagesback from the 32nd Ward. Alderman Wagesback, wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Scott was on the show before, and am I allowed to call you Scott, or do I have to refer?
Yes.
I am? Okay,
Scott,
good.
Scott is fine.
Okay.
But I tell everyone.
Okay, good. We were together on Chicago Tonight on Thursday of this past week, talking about the whole recycling issue and the bombshell that got dropped on Thursday. And for some of us, it wasn't such a bombshell. I'm sure you had inklings of this, and I know that I did because I work with the Chicago Recycling Coalition, and we have our sources, and we kind of knew what was going on. It had to come out at some point, and it did when Franz Spielman wrote in the Sun-Times. The problem is, for a lot of people in the city, it was a bombshell. And they said, oh, now what's going on? And the idea is that the Daley administration right now is working on privatizing the blue cart pickup in the city, and doing it by dividing the city into six zones, and then they had an RFP, or request for program, whatever. Some people call it RFQ, and whatever it was. But they sent out these notice that they wanted people to bid on this job, and they got these bidders to come in, and If you believe Fran Spielman's story, they're still in the process of choosing the bidders. If you believe what I've heard, they've already chosen them. Among the people being chosen are Waste Management, which kind of brings this full circle for the Daley administration, because Waste Management was the company that ran the Blue Bag program, which was in place for 15 years, in which, as we all know, did not work. And so here we are going back. It looks like Waste Management will have four of the six zones in the city. What was your reaction, Alderman, when that came out on Thursday morning? And you probably started getting some phone calls, I imagine.
Yeah, I did. Actually, one of the sad things about being an alderman in a city that doesn't have a recycling program, and, you know, let's face it, I mean, some parts of the 32nd Ward have it, but the majority of the city doesn't. The first reaction is kind of anger and frustration. A lot of the calls that I get from the area of the ward that does not have recycling is just anger and questioning and, you know, curiosity as to why Chicago can't put this program together in the right way. So when that news came out, you know, it was just, for me, it was just, okay, here's the affirmation that the leadership of the city, and, you know, we talked about it on Chicago Tonight, the leadership of the city just can't get their act together when it comes to recycling. And I don't know if it's deliberate or just, again, dropping the ball, but how can you go for 15 years with a Blue Bag program that doesn't work? Then, I've been in 4 years trying to get it not only throughout the city but definitely on the ward, and it's just frustration on top of frustration. So that's how I look at it. And there's so many other cities in the U.S. that do it and do it well, and they're leapfrogging Chicago, and that's part of the frustration.
Yeah, and if you look at after we were on the show, the Chicago Tonight people listed some of these cities on their website, which you can link to at mine, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show. And they list some of the cities, the major cities in the country that have good recycling programs, like New York and L.A. and San Francisco and others, Portland, Seattle. And how they do it, and one of the things you realize is that there's no one specific model that fits all in the country.
And that's good. That's probably a good thing.
Oh, it is. I mean, different cities have different issues. For instance, when you're on the East Coast, one of the huge issues is the tipping fees. They're much higher than they are in the Midwest. And a tipping fee is what you pay when you take your waste to a landfill, and that influences how they do things. It also has to do with, as you alluded to, who's in charge.
Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with that. I mean, how could Waste Management, you know, love having that Blue Bag program for 15 years? And I think you spoke about it. There's been people writing about that stuff for years and years and years. So it's not that the leadership is clueless as to how things work and how they could work well. I think it's more of a matter of who the bottom line is. Who's making the money off of this stuff? And it's sure not the taxpayers, because I think they could implement a program that would work, maybe not to make us money, but at least to break even.
Well, the point,
I think you said it right about New York.
Yeah, where they were paying out millions of dollars and managed to turn it around, so they were making a small amount of revenue from the recyclables. The point is, we haven't really even looked at that, and we haven't done this in an open way. The fact that this announcement comes out on Thursday, and it's a month before the mayor leaves office, and it comes out as kind of a bombshell, means that there hasn't been a lot of transparency. The bids were put online for the city, if you knew where to track them down, but it's not like groups like mine and the aldermen and the citizens at large have been called in to weigh in on how they think this is going to work.
Oh, why have a public forum on it?
Yeah, when you can do it by fiat.
Yeah.
Exactly. And as you mentioned, what we lose in the process, and this is some of the things that we have on the Chicago Recycling Coalition site, and in the interest of full disclosure, I'm president of the Chicago Recycling Coalition, and I do not make a dime for being the president of the Chicago Recycling Coalition, for all those people. I had somebody come after me once because I said something that got in the press, and then the comments after the article, somebody said, oh, Novak's just trying to save his job. And I want to say, hey, listen, you want the job? Take it. If you can be a better advocate, go for it. You know, knock yourself out. All I want is good recycling in the city of Chicago.
Right.
You know, and we have to look at what are the real cost savings here. The idea being that maybe we can have better recycling. What's the real cost? Is it going to be lower wages and benefits for workers? What's the impact on the workers and their families? The idea that and there's this meme out there that, you know what, private industry always does it better. I don't believe that for a second, and I don't think it's been borne out that private.
And look, if you look at the RFP, there's no guarantees in there that waste management must go to recycle those materials. I mean, they could just as easily take it to a landfill. You know, and that's part of this thing that you were talking about, that there's no public discussion about these things. And did anybody look closely at the, you know, the bidding process and say, come on, you know, what's the end line for all these recyclables? Are they going to a landfill? Are they being reused?
Well, yeah, and that's the question. And when the CRC has talked to people in the administration about this, the answer we get is that there's no money to be made on this, or that it's a non-starter, which I brought up on Chicago Tonight.
Yeah.
And I don't get it, because on right after you, I'm going to have Patrick Cushing, who runs a private business and actually makes money from doing recycling. So, we're going to look at a different business model here and see what he's got to say. Now, he deals only in paper. Still, you know, that's
Sure.
Money to be made.
Well, and that's the point. I think, you know, and I think the administration knows that, and I think that's why they're moving so quickly. Waste management wouldn't take this deal if they weren't going to make money off of it.
Well, of course they're going to make money off of it. Why would they? Yeah, you're right.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's like the parking meters. You know, the city could be making the money off of the parking meters now to the tune of the $100 million that this private company is making off of it over 75 years. And we're going to do the same thing that we did with the parking meters and so many other deals that people just don't know about in the city. And the same thing with the recycling. I mean, why are we not smart enough to just take this ourselves and say, look, we can either break even with this, or maybe we'll make a little bit of money, but it's the right thing to do for the environment, for the taxpayers, for everybody across the board. I don't get it either.
Yeah.
That's why I get frustrated and angry sometimes and say, you know, it's just a failure of leadership, and people should be out there pounding on that door at City Hall saying, do the right thing.
Well, you know, we had this happen 18 years ago when the blue bag got rolled out, and from the get-go, and I was not part of the organization at the time, but from the get-go, the Chicago Recycling Coalition was saying, this is not going to work, this is not going to work, this is not going to work, it's not going to work, and guess what? It didn't work. And so we're calling this new deal, this dropping this on the table in the last month, deja blue all over again.
Yeah,
and
it is.
It sure feels like it, doesn't it? And I noticed that one of your colleagues has now come out, Alderman Leslie Hairston from the 5th, sent out a press release just Friday. She calls it the parking meter fiasco on wheels. I guess literally, because the carts are on wheels.
Right.
But you can take that figuratively as well. She says they're trying to rush the contract through before April 11th, when the City Council Finance Committee may consider restrictive legislation. Do you have any insight into that? Do you have that information on the April 11th meeting?
No, I don't.
You're not on that committee?
No, I'm not. I mean, I have to basically go dig up everything myself, you know, including the RFPs and such. But I kind of assumed that a lot of things would be pushed through here at the last minute before Mayor Daley goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as I mentioned on the show, it's kind of another parting gift for, I think, old-time friends, frankly. I mean, it's, you mentioned Brackenbox on the show. Brackenbox was part of this, I guess, process that they found was environmentally unfriendly.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because I had a couple of seconds to talk about it on Thursday, and I wasn't able to finish my thought. Brackenbox Inc. is one of the contractors that apparently has received a zone in the city of Chicago. Now, Streets and Sand is saying they don't officially, you know, their official word is, well, we don't know who's gotten these yet. Okay. But Fran Spielman in the Sun-Times said that Brackenbox was one of them. And as I pointed out on Thursday, there was an article in the Chicago Tribune in January, January 9th, as a matter of fact. The headline, State EPA Targets Markham Businessmen. And in the article, it says, EPA officials describe Jim Bracken, owner of Brackenbox Inc. Dumpster Service, as well as Transfer and Recycling Center in Markham, as a, quote, chronic violator of environmental regulations, and referred his case to the state attorney general's office to seek compliance. Now, as somebody pointed out to me after this article, I was shown this article, they said, IEPA, the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, does not use words like chronic very often. They are loath to go into well, it's not even a pejorative. It's a fact as far as they're concerned. But this is very strong language for the EPA. So if the EPA is saying that this business that just received one of these zones in Chicago is a chronic violator of environmental regulations, that says something about the process by which these companies were picked. Now, it's possible that they're not one of the ones that were awarded a contract. And if that's so, then it just proves that we have no transparency here. So either way, the city looks bad on this.
Well, and I think the city's response would be essentially, they've cleaned it up. Don't worry about it. It's not something that we really look at. We look at best business practices. That's the kind of responses we get on a lot of issues. And that would be very, I would be bothered by that if the city refused to look at that as one of the factors in determining who should get one of those zones. But again, it boils down to lack of transparency, especially in the waning days of the Daley administration. And, people say, why do you always stand up and talk about these issues? And this is exactly why. It's just more of the same. I frankly think that things like this should be halted in the waning days of this administration. There should be no more contracts put out until Mayor Emanuel gets in. And this transparency that he's spoken about, or the reform, should be first priority on the table. And this recycling contract should be halted until the city council and the public, including organizations like yours, can sit down at the table in a hearing or a series of hearings and say, why do we need to privatize this in the first place? Let's see if the city, through the laborers and maybe the other organizations involved, the unions, can look at this and say, hey, we can do a better job.
I want to get to that, the transparency in the Emanuel administration, in a second. We're talking to Alderman Scott Wagsback from the 32nd Ward. But first I want to go take a question here or a comment from Bernie on line 2. Hi, Bernie. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, the thing is, like, I think myself, you don't have the media behind you. You know, listening to Norm Angolman, he taught us the word externality. I don't think the people really are educated. And is it private industry that doesn't want to acknowledge that they produce a product that eventually the taxpayers have to pay to recycle it? I mean, it seems awful phony that, I can go up to somebody in the city and say, what's that triangle mean? I bet you 9 out of 10 people don't know it.
Well, you're right about one thing, Bernie, in that the educational component of recycling in Chicago has been sorely lacking, and I think the alderman would agree with that. And partly it's because we have so many different systems. We have blue cart, but it's not rolled out to everybody, so you can't tell everybody to use a blue cart because they don't have them, which means you have to tell some people to go to the dumpsters to put them in. And then you've got the high rises, which is a completely different matter, and that's handled in a completely different way, and it's piecemeal. What do you say about that, Alderman?
Well, I'd agree with Bernie. I mean, in a lot of ways, we have a phony green city. We talk big. We do a lot of green things throughout the city, but the biggest one should be recycling. And this whole education of the populace about, you know, how we do things is haphazard. I think I was, when we were on the show, I was talking about how the Streets and Sand commissioners went to different cities across the U.S. and they came back and they, in the budget hearings, and they said, hey, we went to all these other cities and we learned how they do recycling and how great the other systems are. And we were going to bring those same practices to Chicago. And when we decided to implement it, we implemented it essentially the wrong way, or the way that would benefit fewer of the population than we expected. So it's a learning curve that just hasn't been met by the administration itself. To me, I just look and I see, okay, they can't, they're educating themselves in the wrong way, so how could they educate us?
Bernie, that's a great comment. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Have a great Sunday. All right, I'm going to have to let you go, Alderman, but the one thing I think we got to say right here that we did not say really on Thursday on Chicago Tonight, and I feel very strongly about this, is, you know, the name that mere mortals dare not speak, and that's Rahm Emanuel. To think that the Emanuel administration is not fully aware of what's going on here and doesn't understand the implications of this would be silly. You know, if you believe that, then, you know, I'm the king of Logan Square. And the Emanuel administration should be looking at this and saying, you know what, maybe this is something that is better served in the open. When the new administration comes in, let's look at the ideas. Let's talk to everybody. We need accountability. We need transparency. Let's do it right. Let's not have it dropped in our laps a month before the old mayor leaves office. What do you think?
I would agree with you completely that that's what should be on their minds. I mean, we're talking about a deal that's going to cost taxpayers tens of millions of dollars a year, like that New York deal that you talked about, when it could actually benefit taxpayers instead. So, and it would benefit the Emanuel administration, I think, to sit down with Mr. Daley and say, Mayor Daley, and say, Mayor, as mayor-elect, I would like you to stop this contract process for the moment until I can get my arms around it.
Yeah. Well, I would like to talk more, and I know there are other issues here, and in the interest of fairness to everybody, I will say that, you know, you have an interest in it, too, because recycling pickup as waste pickup is one of the ways that aldermen have some influence in the city with their residents. I mean, it cuts both ways. You have influence that way, but on the other hand, if it is privatized, as the Lou Phillips from the union said, people will be calling an 800 number instead of the alderman's office, and they're still going to yell at you even though they can't get satisfaction.
That's always true, yeah.
But, you know, we'll get into that issue some other time, and I want to talk some more about this is not the end of this, obviously. I think this is just the beginning. Alderman Scott Wagspack, 32nd Ward, thank you again for being on the show. Always a pleasure talking to you, and let's chat soon.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's spring in Chicago. Literally, if not figuratively, with the season upon us, you need the March-April issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. You definitely want to pick this up because you get two publications for the price of one. Not only do you get the Midwest's best guide to Zone 5 gardening, that's the magazine, you also receive the annual resource guide, a separate booklet that has information about garden centers, seeds, classes, tools, and a whole lot more. There's a story about growing and eating ramps this issue. You know what a ramp is? It's a wild leek and a very she culinary plant right now. And there's one about some natives that like it cold and wet, including a sci-fi plant that at this time of year can generate heat 20 degrees above the air temperature to attract pollinators. It's called a skunk cabbage. Really. Then there's my column on the inside back page. It doesn't give off heat, but it has an aroma similar to a skunk cabbage. You can purchase Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. Call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, or go to chicagolandgardening.com. Excuse me. I'm taking a sip here of this tea. My green tea on a Sunday morning. We want to tell people that, Heather, I told you that I'm taking a few days off. I know how desperately you want to sit here in the big chair.
Well, unless you need your producer to go with you.
Well, that might happen, too.
I'd happily push buttons for you there.
You mean on the big cruise on Norwegian Sun to visit the Caribbean destinations of Nassau, St. Thomas, San Juan, Great Stirrup Cay, and more?
If you insist. And if you really need me, I will take one for the team.
I know you would. That's going to be from February 25th to March 3rd, 2012. Heather will probably not be on it, but I want you to come with me. We'll be exploring spectacular Zone 11 gardens on some of the most iconic tropical islands on the Northern Hemisphere. I'll be the genial host, share my insights. It's going to be a great time. If you want to find out how to do this, get on board, and people are signing up, so do it now while the tickets are still there. Go to my website, mikenovak.net, and click on the picture of the Norwegian Sun, or call CruiseWorks at 800-876-6664, or log on to cruise-works.com, or just write me. This is the easiest way, mike@mikenovak.net, and I'll send you all the information you need. I guess I would say all aboard, but I think that's what they do for trains, not for boats.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Our deer and small four-legged critters treating your yard like an all-you-can-eat buffet? Cut them off already. Try some Bobex products. They're environmentally safe, meaning they're harmless to wildlife, including aquatic species, as well as humans and pets, and they don't contain petrochemical or synthetic components. Most importantly, they work. Bobex has a loyal customer base. They use the product year after year, and they call Bobex each year, and they say, "Hey, where's my Bobex?" And, of course, Bobex also has loyal employees who believe in the company and the product they've been putting out for over 20 years. Bobex repels foraging animals using both the odor and taste of meat, meal, fish, oil, putrescent eggs, garlic, and other naturally occurring ingredients. And they work effectively throughout all the seasons. Don't look for Bobex products in a box store. Look for them in a Bobex store, meaning your local independent garden center. If you don't see Bobex at your favorite garden center, you can call Bobex and they'll check it out for you. But you can find Bobex products at Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, Gardens for People in Geneva, Illinois, Anton's Greenhouse in Highland Park, Illinois. Remember, plants thrive and survive with Bobex. Let's pull that microphone over there, Patrick, and I want to bring into the conversation Patrick Cushing, and we talked about recycling, and Patrick is with 2020 Recycling. Pretty interesting stuff going on in the city of Chicago, don't you think?
Definitely is these days.
But you've gone a different route. You've decided to do it commercially, and how did that work for you?
It's worked fairly well so far.
Yeah?
We are recycling paper for residences as well as commercial buildings throughout the city. So,
The name of the group is called 2020 Recycling. You do a lot of different interesting stuff, and I went to your website, and let me go back there. I know Heather's got it up, but it's not just recycling you do. You do reuse, and you do what else?
Correct. The idea behind 2020 was to close off the recycling loop. So rather than just recycling the paper and avoiding sending it to the landfill, we are trying to use paper that is printed on one side to create products that people could use that replace a legal pad or a notebook.
So you'll take their recyclable, their paper, and basically you just deal in paper, right?
Correct.
And if it's got print on one side, you can create products that have that use the blank space on the other side, is that it?
Exactly.
And do you give them back to that same company? Or
ideally, we are giving them directly back to that client that we received the paper from. So they are essentially creating a product for their office from their waste.
So one of the things I like is you've got on the website the way that you can see how you would benefit the environment by weight and volume. Tell me about your calculator.
The calculator is something I got from actually direct from the EPA's website. Takes into account the amount of paper you're using versus the amount of paper you're saving. Also calculates in versus what you could reuse and generates a number that will give you a good basis on how well you're doing.
Okay, so. But I'm looking at some of the other stuff you do. You do document scanning and document destruction. Now, how does this all tie into recycling, or does it? Is it, or is it just you know, additional stuff.
It's sort of additional stuff, but with the age of the digital document, a lot of the paper that sits around offices are just going to waste, sitting in filing cabinets. We give the clients a way to, with our closed loop recycling, a way to get rid of their old documents, scan them into digital format, put them onto a computer database, and then take their old files and reuse those as scratch pads for their office. So
you've got that's funny. You might find something you wrote or typed up a couple of years ago on the back of a scratch pad in your office.
Exactly.
Or it might be somebody else's file but still, that's great. Is it better? Do you find economically to reuse a product as a scratch pad or to recycle? You note on your website that you can recycle something, 4 to 7 times? Paper can be recycled 4 to 7 times?
Exactly.
Depending on the kind of paper you've got.
Correct. And it's all based on the length of the fibers that created the paper in the first place. So from there, you could recycle it over and over. There are some negative implications with just general recycling in terms of the de-inking of paper as well as transportation. The closest local pulping company is, I believe, 1,200 miles away from Chicago. So anytime that paper's getting shipped out, it's getting shipped somewhere pretty far away. So,
Hang on a second. I take care of a little business here, but I want to talk about the economic model, why you decided to get into this, and can you make money in recycling, which takes us back to the conversation we had with the alderman about that. So that is Patrick Cushing from 2020recycling.com. But first, I got to tell you, the spring is blooming at Sid's Greenhouses, and right now they have everything you need to get your garden in shape. Since there's still a chance of frost for another month or so, plant pansies outside now in garden beds and containers. Pansies are one of the few frost-tolerant annuals, and they come in a rainbow of awesome colors. Best of all, this week, you can get 3 of Sid's premium pansies in the 4-inch pot for just $5. Now is also the time to start flowers and vegetables from seed, and it's a really great family project. SIDS has everything you'll need, so get to SIDS for that. And save the dates, April 15th and 16th for SIDS Spring Planting Festival at both of their stores. Maybe on the 16th I'll be with Rick DeMaio at the meteorologist hangout. That'll be cool. Anyway, SIDS has free seminars and manufacturers reps on hand to help you with your spring projects. Visit SIDSonline.com for all the details. SIDS, Chicagoland's premier garden centers, are located in Palos Hills on Southwest Highway in Bolingbrook on Napier Plainfield Road at Hassert Boulevard.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
What happens when you apply high-quality organic ingredients to your soil and vegetable plants? Well, you probably guessed it. You get high-quality vegetables. Dr. Earth has you covered from planting to harvest. Start with their probiotic planting mix. Add some tomato, vegetable, and herb fertilizer, and take down insects with Dr. Earth's all-organic fruit and vegetable insect spray. Dr. Your Earth with Dr. Earth, the multivitamin for your garden, sold only at local independent garden centers. Go to DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you and like them on Facebook at Dr. Earth Organic Products. You can also go to the Mike Novak Show on Facebook and like that as well. We don't mind that, do we, Heather?
No, we like that very much. We're on. You have a Facebook profile. We have the show as a profile. We're on Twitter at Mike Now. And, of course, you can find all things Mike Novak at MikeNovak.net.
Thank you. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. It's spring, and as our plants wake up, so does the soil. But the soils around urban and suburban trees are often neglected. That's where the Care of Trees comes in. Their soil care program was designed to provide the healthiest, nutrient-rich soil for your trees with something they call Arbor Tea. They analyze the soil, develop compost teas to enhance the quality of the biology. As I always say, it's the biology, stupid. And then apply these teas to restore the soil to favorable to a favorable level. Contact the Care of Trees to learn more about this cutting-edge treatment. They put you and your trees first. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're talking to Patrick Cushing from 2020recycling.com. That's where you go to find information. Now, do you work in just Chicago or the suburbs or both or where?
We are Chicago and surrounding areas. We go as far as Hoffman Estates currently, but willing to go wherever.
You're just going to expand and expand. You got to understand, this guy's, yes, Heather.
Well, I did 3.5 years in corporate America, cubicle data entry life, and all we did was generate waste paper all day and all night. Most of it misprinted, something was wrong, and the bins would overflow and overflow. Luckily, there were offices that did participate in some kind of recycling program, but me and a couple of co-parents used to steal it and bring it home for the kids to draw on.
Well, as you point out on your website, the recycling of how much paper do we recycle by percentage in America? About 50%? Is that it?
Or
is
it was 50% 2 years. I believe last year they said it was the highest ever at 63%.
That's wonderful.
That's so much better. Yeah. But still, that's leaving us, 27% that's not recycled.
Is that 37.
37.
But I mean, I remember this is my math sitting for you. There and just the cost of the paper and the toner just going into the bin like that. I'd much rather see a company invest with 2020 and do something productive with it.
Well, why wouldn't they, why would they go to a company like yours rather than their waste hauler in the city of Chicago, which they are required to do by law through the, what they call the Burke-Hansen Ordinance, which was, passed in 1992 or thereabouts. Why would they go to a private company like you?
Typically, if you're doing single-stream recycling, paper consists of about 65% of your typical waste from an office or residential unit.
Mm-hmm.
That includes any sort of packaging, cereal boxes, paper, anything in general. Single-stream recycling, when paper gets mixed in, once you get glass involved, mixes in with other foods, typically the paper gets ruined and essentially can't be recycled. So working with 2020, we separate the paper right away. We also lower actual... You said tipping fees. You're producing so much less refuse that it doesn't make it.
That's the goal, isn't it? The idea that as we recycle more, we have to throw away less.
Exactly.
And it doesn't end up in the landfill. So you're it sounds like you're picking up the slack from other recycling services that they're doing their job, but it's not getting done as effectively or efficiently as it could be done.
Correct.
Have you been able to make money? That's the big question. That's what we want to know.
We have been able to make a little bit of money. Thankfully, we do have the product side of our business where we are actually able to resell the products back to the clients, and that is able to generate a little bit more money for us. But there's money to be made on just the paper side alone. So,
really? Is the market getting better? What's the market been like in the last – how long has you've been in business here?
We've been in business for a little over a year, about a year and 5 months.
Okay. What have you seen in terms of the market?
The market was down – a little bit when we started, but has picked up considerably. And just typically with the market, business has picked up, so...
Well, if the market was down, why would you go into a business at that time?
In all honesty, I have...
No idea.
No idea, yeah, no.
Fearless.
Exactly.
What's that?
Fearless.
Yeah.
Figure it's a good time to take a shot, and...
Well, I'm going to suggest to people that if you're worried about your paper and how much you're using and it's not getting... recycled or reused properly, you'll do an estimate, wouldn't you? Would you go out to a business?
Absolutely.
Give Patrick Cushing a call. What's your number?
The number is 312-450-3066.
That number again?
312-450-3066.
Or you can go to 2020, that's 2020recycling.com. I think it's a great idea. I think anybody and everybody should get involved helping us with our recycling problem, which it is, and I'm glad you're doing that. So thank you for coming down to the show and being part of the conversation, Patrick.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You betcha. We mentioned this before. Are you looking to repel all hungry animals from your plants? Well, then you might want to pick up this Bonide, another great sponsor. Repels All, animal repellent, and send those ravenous little critters booking. Repels All is an all-natural repellent that uses smell, taste, and irritation to keep pests away. Unlike other repellents, Repels All has no unpleasant odor and is effective for up to 2 months. So it's effective, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Repels All natural formula can be applied to trees, shrubs, perennials, and around edible crops. It also works to prevent animals from chewing on and through fences and structures. Repels All is available in concentrate, ready to use, and ready to spray liquid formulations, and in easy to spread granules. Look for Repels All products at these fine stores: Pesci's in Des Plaines, Illinois, Lurvy Garden Center in Des Plaines, Illinois, Graff Gardens in Worth, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid, or download it directly to your computer's desktop.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
Hey, it's time for Wally's, Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by... You love Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, don't you?
I love Dr. Wally's and I love Pesci's.
So, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines, Wally Schmidtke is not a real doctor, but somehow he gets a percentage for every tonsillectomy performed in the five-county area. Anyway, Wally says that if you're dealing with your heavy clay soil in your flower bed or veggie garden, there's hope. He and I are both big fans of Back to Nature Cotton Burr Compost. It's a trade-off. I mean, they're a sponsor, but part of the reason is he loves them so much. In fact, he goes to Cotton Burr, Back to Nature, says, you guys got to be on the show again, because I love it, and Mike loves it, so why aren't you advertising? And here they are. So I say, go to Pesci's and buy some Back to Nature Cotton Burr Compost. Now, as soon as the soil seems dry enough to be workable, and that will differ depending on where you live, how much rain you've had lately, and how cool it's been, mix some Back to Nature into your soil. It provides a rich food source for soil organisms. It breaks up clays and improves moisture retention in sands. It does not tie up nutrients like wood and wood byproducts, and is free from chemicals, weeds, insects, and pathogens. If you measure your planting areas and stop by Pesci's, Wally himself will prescribe the amount, the proper amount to use. Pesci's Garden is Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, P-E-S-C-H-E, apostrophe S. Three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's go to line one for our good growing segment and bring in Kim Marson from Sweet Home Organics. Kim, how are you?
I am dandy, dude. How are you?
I'm good. You feel like the weather's getting warm enough to actually get some stuff done?
Well, I have no choice.
Well, that's true. One of the things, if you're running a farm, you got no choice. Well, tell me about that. How you're finding this? If you go to my website, you'll see the information. Of course, Kim's been on the show a couple of times, and this is sort of our regular report. And she's a commuter farmer, goes out St. Charles Way to Primrose Farm Park, and goes to work on the farm.
Yep.
And you still got to go even if it's cold. So what do you do when it's cold?
Well, it depends on if there's things I need to do outside, which hasn't really happened much yet. We did plant our snap peas on Friday, try to get that in before the rain came. But we're preparing the soil a little bit here and there. But mostly we go into the hoop house because that's where all the seedlings are, and we've got lots of seeding to plant, et cetera. So
well,
that's where you'll find me.
It's great you have a hoop house. Now, is that something you bought yourself? Is that part of your inventory, I guess we would say?
That's right, yep. We bought that used from another grower who didn't need it or want it anymore, and so we put that up, and we're actually trying to extend it a little bit so that we can get a little bit more space.
By the way, you told, and I'm going to talk about inventory in a second, but when we communicated this week, you said that some of your CSA members, and you still have CSA shares available, right?
We do.
Some of your CSA members enjoy hearing the updates on this program. So to all the CSA members of Sweet Home Organics, hi! It's a shout-out.
Yeah, it's great.
But speaking of inventory, you said you went to a tractor auction this week.
It was crazy. There was 14 rows, and let's say there were maybe 300-400 foot long. So, you know, miles and miles of tractors, anywhere from combines to, you know, 1900s, early 1900s old tractors. So we walked the line. We were looking distinctively for one with a bucket loader and a PTO and a three-point hitch, and we found one.
PTO? What's a PTO?
Oh, sorry, power takeoff. So okay. What that does is it can run like your tiller, et cetera.
Yeah.
So most of the attachments that we want to run require that.
And did you get what you wanted?
We did. I walked up to the machine because we had looked at maybe like three or four before then, and I said, I'm in love. And the best part is it's 1974, which is the same age as Rach, my partner.
Uh-huh.
So that felt all knick-knick. And then you just looked at the machine, and it just looked like somebody loved it before us. And
Well, that's a good question. In terms of farm machinery, do most farmers keep them in pretty good shape, or is it just like cars?
Yeah. I mean, I was envisioning like a grandpa or something. He bought it brand new, and he's just been keeping this thing going to the best that he could. And it was time for it to find a new home, and we were it. So, yeah, it's been maintained well as far as we can tell. So
that's so cool. And you said you could have bought one from the early 20th century if you wanted to.
Oh sure, yeah, yeah. There were real old ones there too.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then, of course nobody wants them. You know, the majority of the people who are coming to these auctions were corn and soybean folks. So they're looking at this little guy as, well, I can move some soil around, or I can use it for plowing. So it really doesn't, you know, somebody who's my size would probably find a lot of machines that would fit our needs.
So you're saying that the machine you got was just right for you, but it wouldn't have been particularly suitable for some other farmers?
That's right. Yep.
But you still had other people bidding on it, right?
We did, and that was the amazing thing. We had lots of people who were jumping, you know, trying it out because, you know, you could turn the engine on, you could drive it, you could lift the bucket, et cetera. So, yeah, there was quite a crowd around the machine, and I don't know if the people were just curious or, you know, what the interest was. But, you know, half of the fun was trying to figure out what number the auctioneer was at.
Yeah.
And so the bidding just took off, and I only made one bid, and that was the lucky bid that got us the machine.
I'll be darned. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Hey. All right, the lucky bid. I'm going to have to let you go, but
yes.
I know you wanted to get out a couple of things. One, I'm sure, is the CSA. You still have shares available.
We do. And our seedling sales, which we talked about last time, closes, if you want guaranteed stock on your favorite seedling, closes on Monday. So if you're interested, you can email us and then, you know, send the check in the mail. And then we also have a couple of fairs coming up on April 17th at Fullersburg in Oak Brook. With the DuPage Forest Preserve, they've got a Go Green Festival, so they'll have different vendors and opportunities for kids to learn and adults to learn about how to live more greenly. And then on the 30th of April, the St. Charles Nature Center is hosting a grand opening, and it'll be a similar event highlighting the Nature Center as well as we'll be there and other folks. Actually, the guy who raises honey on site here, he'll be there with a hive, and you can look and see where all the bees go and fun stuff like that. And then on the 14th of May in Geneva, in downtown Geneva, is the Gardenology event. And so there you can get all things gardening, including seedlings, et cetera.
Yes. And I imagine all this is on your website or will be soon.
It is on the website, but the exact addresses and stuff like that will be coming in the next couple of days.
Great. Yep. And if you want some organic vegetables, sign on to the CSA for Sweet Home Organics.
Right, and we've decided on our farm stand hours. That's the other last piece.
Okay.
Our farm stand hours will be open on Saturdays 9 to 3 starting May 7th through the season, and then on Thursdays we'll be open from 10 to 6 starting in June. So Thursdays and Saturdays starting in June and Saturdays only in May.
Cool. Kim Marson, always a pleasure. We will be talking as the season progresses.
Awesome. Enjoy.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
What do Ball Horticultural, the Lincoln Park Zoo, Elmhurst College, and Motorola have in common? They have all been partners with WRD Environmental, an ecological consulting firm that has created sustainable landscapes since 1997. WRD Environmental designs, installs, manages, and consults on projects and programs that conserve natural resources, promote sustainability, cultivate biodiversity, and restore nature's balance. But just as important, WRD is a good partner. Whether it's managing a large-scale conservation development or cultivating a community greening initiative, clients trust WRD to anticipate, prevent, and solve potential problems. WRD Environmental takes a comprehensive approach to every project, keeping the overall objectives in mind and building teams along the way to achieve the best results. WRD is all about innovation and execution with unparalleled focus. So when you're looking for a partner to help your business literally change the world around it, choose WRD. WRD Environmental, where the built and natural environments meet.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at plantskid.com. Proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
I just got a email from Alderman Wagasback, who thanked me for having him on the show.
You guys are great on TV, too, by the way. You were.
I think we need
beaming with pride.
A situation comedy with me and Scott Wagasback would be cool.
You guys.
He says, by the way, my wife and I were in the middle of digging up our own front yard for spring plantings, many of which we get from the fantastic Wicker Park events. And he writes, get muddy. So that's good.
We love dirt.
We do. Next week, the inimitable Jennifer Brennan from Chalet Nursery, she's going to be here for 2 hours. We're going to answer all of your gardening questions. It's like total gardening next week, gardening geek out on the Mike Novak Show. So get your questions and calls next week. Until then, go green.
Or go home.
See you then.